Turn with me to the book of 1 John, and we're going to go to the fifth chapter, the first five verses of 1 John. For you that were here for a Christmas Eve service, you know that we were in the book of 1 John 4, and we went through those verses, and we're going to move on in continuing that study. And so 1 John 1 through 5. I so appreciate the fact that, if you need a Bible, thank you, Doug, for that. If you need a Bible, put your hand up, and he will get it to you. I just really appreciate what Eric said about identity, and I don't know if you believe this, but I do. I believe that that the world has been trying to place an identity on people, and to place an identity on people and use fear and intimidation and other things to try to place an identity on you. And I've just been growing the fact more and more that identity is so important in our lives, because the identity that we receive into our heart is the identity that we live out in our lives, and it gives direction to us. And I really believe that with all that I am. And so what has your identity driven to you this year, driven you to do this year? What have you seen in your life that has moved and motivated your life to do and to make certain decisions along life's path in this past year? Can you see them clearly right now? Can you see things that you've done in response to the identity that you have believed about yourself and how it has driven you into certain things into your life? There are two identities in this world. One that the world puts on you, and the one that through the Holy Spirit God puts into your heart. And I think once we get a grasp of that, change our life. Change our life. There's been just this growing identity of that you've got to stay safe. You've got to stop everything and protect yourself. You know that there are still churches that have not in 2 years worshiped together? Churches are closing. And it's so sad. I respect my leadership so much. Because in the midst of all that, they said that it is more important for human being to worship their God than to be identified by anything else. This is not a political statement. This is a faith statement. And I have been impressed with you guys that you have come. You have come. You have come and worshiped God regularly. You have stayed at it. You have not given up. I am so proud of you. But I know it's not been easy. I know there has been this feeling of, do I push forward? You see, it isn't death that we have to fear. It's not really living. What did Jesus say? He said, I have come to give life and to the full or abundantly. That's our Jesus. And there has been a fight against that. Your testimony was just, it was today. It was supposed to be today. Because I have walked with some treasured men for some time now. And I have noticed something about these men. And I know that in my own life, that there has been this performance identity that has tried to grab a hold of men. And I'm going to get into all the background of it, but I've noticed that what it's done is it has been destroying men's life. And that's why your words are so prophetic, because it isn't about our performance, it's about Christ's performance in us. And yet, we have had this religious thing and in the world thing, and Industrial Revolution has reduced people down to machinery instead of the beautiful human beings that they are, and we've just been pushing against us. And I've watched men just struggle under this whole performance thing. And as I see their identity coming in more clear into Christ and less into the output and what they do, their life is becoming free. Now, I am not against work. Don't misunderstand me. But I am against the identity that I am only good as what I can produce. Because what I am is what Jesus has produced. If we get that, it'll change our lives. If we get that, we don't have to protect ourselves. We can live abandoned before the Lord, no matter what. You know, Aaron is going to be leaving us soon, right? He was in construction, he's making good money, and he set it all down and said, all right, Lord, you're calling me in the mission field. I'll go. You got all your money yet? Okay. Are you close? 100% of your sending money, right? And then what about your monthly?
84.
Ha! Woo! But you went into something not knowing how it would turn out. And I got a feeling there was times that you're going, I don't know if this thing's going to work out. Is that right? But you keep trusting the Lord. I don't think there's any time in history that the identity of death or the identity of suppression of life or the identity has ever been pushed down on human beings as much across the world. Across the world. When I talk to Indonesia, the same thing. So much fear. So much fear. Last week, I got a call from a guy. And he said, last night, he said, I tried to commit suicide. And he said it didn't work. So I went home to my wife, and I told her. He said, this morning, I've been sitting in my truck. And he said, Wayne, I'm trying to pray that prayer of submission. I can't get the words out of my mouth. You don't think there's a battle going on? There's a battle going on. Identity. Identity. What does Jesus say about it? Let's read. Let's read five verses of 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. What? What? For? Did I read that right? You sure that's the right? That everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, people of God, our Bible says that our Creator is the God of life. He's not the God of death. Jesus himself publicly and historically proclaimed, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes in the Father except through me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the proclaimer of true life. He tells you the truth about sin, about righteousness, and about the coming judgment. The question is this, are you really living or just existing in the identity of death? Verse 1a says that that everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. The Bible, this phrase, born of God, refers to being born from above, born again, new creation, transaction from lost to saved, salvation, new nature, change from the children of the world to children of God. And it is what Paul refers to as the adoption to sonship. You have to understand, identity is supernatural. You cannot think yourself into it. You can't work yourself into it. It is the fact that Jesus Christ himself comes in and lives inside a human heart. It is the first move by the Creator, is a sustaining power kept by him in partnership with our heart that is drawn to him. It is not found in knowing information, but in knowing the person of Jesus Christ and responding to that truth in surrender to him. You know Jesus? Let me see it by your life. Turn from your sin. Follow him, no matter how painful it is. You know Jesus Christ? Don't hold on to your life. Let it go. Let him take it. Let him take you anywhere that he wants to. In my studies, I found, I don't know what you were doing this week, but I was studying God's word. And in my studies, I found 40 different phrases of identification. Jesus Christ. Who I am in Jesus Christ. And just a few. Christians, children of promise, friends of Jesus Christ, saints, saints. Stop fighting that one. Sheep, witnesses, lights in the world, followers of Christ, salt of the earth, vessels for honor, members of God's household. And one that's close to my heart, aliens and strangers. You know why that's so close to my heart? Because I'm adopted. When I came in and started thinking thoughts as a young person, I started thinking of the fact I don't fit in this world. I started looking at other people as though they had everything and all together, but I had nothing. And I was like, it seemed like there was something missing in my life. You ever felt like that? When I found the phrase aliens and strangers, it clicked like that with me. And I came to understand that in Christ, I was never meant to fit in. I was meant that Jesus Christ would stand out. And that is huge. I want you to think about something. As you think about believing on Lord Jesus as Christ and being born of God, Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Do you understand the importance of that verse? I'd like to hear that. What does it mean to you that your life is hidden in Christ? What does that mean? Protected? Somebody else.
Hasn't been fully revealed yet.
Your life has not been fully revealed. It's being revealed, but yeah, it's not fully revealed. We will not know until we see him face to face. Yes. We have a purpose. Yeah. More than conquerors. That's right. We're victorious in Jesus Christ. Yeah, new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You are brand new.
Our life is not our own.
But bought with a price. We have his power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, Ephesians tells us. Yeah, I mean, does that start to race your heart a little bit? It should. It should. You're not bound by finances. You're not bound by whether you have a job or not, which I think you should work. You're not bound by what the world puts on you. You're free in Jesus Christ. Not free just to do what you want, because so many people look at freedom to Christ as something that is, you know, the way we interpret freedom. I can do what I want. I can go where I want. I can just what the world has taught us. But freedom actually means, and I love this definition. Set Free taught me this. Freedom means that that the junk is out of the trunk and I am intimate with Jesus Christ. That's what freedom is. You understand bondage is separation from him and all the things that get in the way because your mind and your heart is just been churning and you've been, your conception of yourself is what the world tells you and all this garbage. But freedom is the fact that your intimacy with Christ is one and you think your thoughts after him and you get to actually live a life that he says, do it and you do it. Just like the angels who are flying going, what do I do next? What do I do next? That's what your life is like. That's what true freedom is. And that is what your identity in Jesus Christ is all about. To live without God is to like live your life on a tightrope. And as you walk, you think to yourself, you know, my next step could be my destruction. Have you ever lived like that? Come on, be honest with me. It is a horrible life. Legalists are made out of that because they got to do everything right. If I lived that way as a preacher, it'd be horrible because if it's based on me, this is our new worship leader. We'll have prayer afterwards, buddy. But that's exactly right. Listen to Psalm 18, 35 through 36. It says these words. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles will not give way. Let that hit you. Let that hit you. There's peace and hope and freedom and joy and direction and purpose to the path that he's making for you. And it's not a tightrope. And you're not just on the edge about ready to fall. There is more security. They're the most secure place in the universe is in the hands of Jesus Christ. The most unsecure place in the world is living on your own. So what is the result of living it out? It says that in verse 2. It says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Listen to me. Before Jesus Christ, you couldn't live out those commands. Before Jesus Christ, you made decisions out of fear. You held on to substances and people because you were afraid. But in Jesus Christ, you have the freedom not to be driven by fear, but be driven by faith. And the law becomes part of the joy of following him. You know, Eric and Kay talked about, and they didn't say the word, but they talked, I heard at different times, the whole idea of repentance. They had to come to a place of repentance. Is that right? Am I right in that? Repentance is a lifestyle. It's not something you do one and done. It's the fact that you get the opportunity to, at times when the Holy Spirit reveals to you where you have missed, that you get the opportunity to repent and stand back up. A righteous man falls 7 times, but each time he gets up, the wicked falls and it turns to calamity. It's the person who is unrepentant, who has lied, who has hidden, who has doing things they know are wrong, that's showing their death. It's the person who, when they have sinned, and they fall before the Lord and say, here I am, I repent because of you. It's not arduous. It's not difficult. It's not like the worst thing because it is in response to faith. And you stand back up and you keep walking. That's the beauty. And that is what he's saying here. You believe you will carry out the commands of God. And you'll keep his commands. And they're not burdensome. They're not burdensome. It's actually a joy. You see, true love is only found in obedience to God through the power of faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus obeyed the Father to the cross. We're called to love God to the point of surrender. That man in his truck, he was fighting it. He was fighting it, but he surrendered. It's the surrendering of our rights, our desires, our hopes and dreams, allowing him to lead us wherever he wants. And it's not burdensome because, listen to me, what I have seen in the midst of men and couples is when repentance hits them to their knees, authenticity fills their heart. Authenticity fills their heart. And I want more of it. I want more of it in my life. I want more of it for our friends and for this family. But as powerful as I believe that identity is in Jesus Christ is something that I think is so hidden, even from the church. It's the empowerment of really living. It says here this, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Overcomer, according to these verses, it is the empowerment to be an overcomer that really is living. What does that mean? You're overcomer of the world. What does that really look like? I'm sorry, we have to answer this question because unfortunately the church has become looking so much like the world. It's no longer overpowering it. The world's overpowering the church. I believe it's important for us to realize that Jesus is the overcomer. But we must, in the gift of faith, partner with him in overcoming. Jesus wrought salvation through his blood, but we must respond in, what does Hebrews 11 tell us? What is faith? Two things. It is what? It is confidence and assurance. Yeah, it's possible, yes. But it's confidence and it's assurance. It is in partnership that what Paul's trying to tell us in Colossians, that we put off the old self. Now, isn't that interesting? We're new creations in Christ Jesus. And yet, Paul says in response to that, it's you putting off the old self and putting on the new. So, Eric, thank you for that. We're caught in this already and not yet. We have to keep those in tension with each other. If we don't, we'll miss the whole point. We're in partnership with him. We're putting off the old and we're putting on the new. That is the center of what it looks like to be an overcomer. Revelation, the Apostle John just so emphasized this. He says this, if you're an overcomer, you'll be given what? You'll be given the right to eat from the tree of life. You'll not be hurt by the second death. You'll be given some hidden manna and the white victor's stone. You'll be given a new name, authority over nations. You'll be given Jesus Christ himself, the morning star. You'll be dressed in white. You'll be acknowledged before the Father. You'll be made a pillar in the temple and given authority to rule. The word overcomer means victors, winners, or conquerors. 24 out of 28 times, it's a New Testament word. It means the same. It is a powerful word in the Roman Greek world because they did not believe humans could be overcomers. They only believed that their false gods could be overcomers. In fact, they have a story about a god named Nike. Anybody got his shoes on today? That aided Zeus in a battle against the Titans. And so the ancient world, when they heard this about being overcomers, would have been astonished by these verses, because nowhere in their world was there any power given to a human being to become overcomers, only the gods. And so when John equated Christians with the mythical gods and their invincibility, it would have shocked that ancient world. In fact, Paul was so convinced of our ability to be overcomers in Jesus Christ, so convinced that in a spiritual oratory, he said, neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor any other things would be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is it we have to overcome? First, we have to overcome self. This is the following result of salvation. We transfer the lordship of ourself to God. We must realize that death is only a power in our life because it has fear to hold over our lives. We must lose ourselves for the sake of the gospel. I no longer have the right to my next step. It is His alone. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Second, Satan or evil. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God has prepared good works for you and I to get it done and to overcome evil. And in Him, we can. And third, the world. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. How have you seen your life no longer conforming to the world's ideologies? How have you seen your life moved into the transferring power of the gospel? Jesus was human, but He was inconsistent in conforming to the world. But He was perfectly consistent in conforming to His Father's will. I've been encouraged to listen to a broadcast. The name of it is Who Killed Mars Hill? And it's a story about Mark Driscoll and the move of Mars Hill. Do you know at one time Mars Hill had 15,000 members? I am telling you, I shake when I listen to it, because what I hear is human control. And when humans, because of power, because of protection, because of them believing that they're really something, is so destructive to the church. People of God, we are in the presence of God Himself. He's in this place. Not because of any human, not because of music or even preaching the word, but because He said that where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst of them. And are there two or three of you that want to follow Jesus Christ with your whole life? No. Are there two or three of you want to follow Jesus Christ with your whole life? No. Are there two or three of you that want to follow Jesus Christ with your whole life? Then He's here. And He guarantees that. And in that presence, I bow. I bow. Outside of Jesus, I'm nothing. In Him, I am what He makes me to be. And everything else does not matter. Our hope is in the truth that God has, as He said He has in 1 Colossians 13, for He has rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves. We can overcome because we no longer live in the realm of this world and all its power. We live in the realm of the family of God. We have been seated in heaven. In according to verse 5, there's only one reality that causes us to overcome in life, and that is the belief that Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the one, God himself, Emmanuel, come to us. So what do you have to be an overcomer in this new year? What do you have to overcome? Self? Overcome evil or Satan? Or overcome the draw of the world? Like I said, I have seen men and women overcoming and their life changed. And so God gave me some words to say to you guys as we end this time. And I pray that that they will mean something to you as it has to me. It is with a thoughtful heart that this pen of mine is scratching. A few words of woe is attaching. It is the light of understanding that I'm looking for when it seems like the gun is about to go off and I'll hit the floor. I've been wondering what life is really all about when death seems to be the only subject we talk about. In a world that is seized with fear, with a pandemic that is clear, is continuing and will continue to grow and grow, causing life to spin to a flow of slow, slow, slow. In the same time, we have leadership that seemed seemingly leading to the end of once great power, now left in a desert to be used by others or devoured. We have lost our center, our focus, our purpose. And so our kids kill kids at school. 34 over the last year. And that was slower because the transfer of students from classroom to living room was in gear. It's so incredible how ode to death increases when the purpose of humans seem to grow less and ceases. A life with no direction will always lead to a path of slow, meaningless infection. We are a people that can put people into space, and yet we seem to have lost the courage to know our place. We cry out injustice and continue to find our identity in race, but all the while we grow more distant and apart, killing the path that would bring us a new start. It's unity that once was the call, and it's unity that will bring the final fall, where people burn, steal, kill, and destroy that which once stood tall. The road back, once paved with love, now broken and turned to mud. It was the last call of the Savior before his hands and feet were nailed to a tree of death, that he would in 3 days prevail. It is with a tentative heart that we come and search ancient book, the book of old that reveals the relevant word to us today. What is it that they knew then in which we need to know now? Because death is so mysterious and its effect is so clear to us that no one will escape its power, and it seems as though it's gaining strength in the midst of the world that's lost its grip. The ancient words echo in our hearts when we hear it say, "Who can live and not see death? Who can escape the power of the grave?" With that real truth understood of old, I pry deeper into the wisdom that must have had a hold on the hearts of old. What did they know? That death itself lay naked before the Creator, that death and destruction is never satisfied and lies open before our Maker. He himself holds the key of death and Hades. In wrong hands, this would be a reason to fear, but hope to those who trust and revere the one whose promise to always be near. They hear him say, "There is no God beside me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my seal." It is with faith that the ancient words reveal, "He is not like man who takes unjust revenge, but with a heart of love," he proclaims, "I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. True faith will choose the first one, and faithless will be undone." You see, it is with wisdom that we find true relationship with life and death. It is with the rejection of wisdom that one will bring harm to themselves, and hatred is the symptom. But there is one who is told about, that was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He proclaims that in him the covenant with death is annulled. He destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through his very words spoken to all. With the context of these few short words, I proclaim to you that this year of dread, that there is one who is calling, "I will rescue those being led astray by death." Your life does not have to be overcome by evil that lies within, without or within, for I have overcome it and destroyed the effect of sin. Oh, yes, you will have to face the moment of death. No human will escape it in the flesh. But today is proclaimed over all this globe, I, Jesus Christ, have overcome death and put on the stove a fire that burns forever the truth, that my eternal love will never go out and your faith will be the proof. No longer do you have to fear, for true faith opens your eyes that I am near. I will deliver you from the power of grave. I will redeem you from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your final say? To the life of my children who walk my way. I know the exact start of their life, and I've written the direction of their way. They are precious, and their life on earth will not end until I call them to me as my eternal family and my forever friend. As the ending of this poem must be, the ode to death I have decreed has started out dark and dismal, maybe, but with great hope it has ended for all who place their trust in the great thee. Amen? Amen? 2022 is coming. And God is calling you to do something you've never done before. I don't know what that is. I don't know what he's calling you to do. But he's calling Christians to stand up and to walk into something brand new in 2022. Not to be conformed into things haven't changed, but to walk into his newness this year. And I'm believing for you that's going to happen. And I'm believing that for you. And I'm believing that for you. And I'm believing that for you. You're going to walk into something new. Stand with me as we end this time out. Heavenly Father, there is identities that are trying to be placed on each one of us in this world. And Father, we just believe in the identity of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is God over all. And Lord, that means that our lives are surrendered to his lordship and that we, Lord, according to your word, that we are overcomers. Lord, we see that in this family as we learn how to love one another. We see this in this family as we live in obedience to you, in repentance and in walking the path that you're calling us to do. Father, there's things happening among us that is incredible. There's people that are calling some of us and saying, I've never read the Bible before. I would like to learn how to read the Bible. There are people that are starting to say, I am so sick and tired of living in fear. I want to know what the whole thing of Jesus is about because I am sick and tired of my life being oppressed. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will just guide our hearts as a family. And in the year 2022, I pray two great things, that, Father, the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up in this community and in our lives, that, Father, our lives are so on fire for Jesus that people can't help but see him in us. And I think, Lord, the other thing is that, Father, that each one of us take the privilege and honor to walk alongside of somebody. And I so appreciate two men who are zooming in with somebody. I so appreciate others who are walking alongside of others and who are discipling. Father, that needs to grow. That needs to grow. I just appreciate the work of Set Free Ministries that has increased hundreds of percentages because people are calling and they're so afraid and they're so consumed with deception. And so, Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege for us to walk together. Lord, in this next year, move in such a way that we can't help see the footprints in the dust and that we follow you. We love you and we trust you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.